at 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The first federal government shutdown in almost 7 years began at a minute past midnight. Republicans and Democrats are blaming each other after a GOP-backed funding plan failed to pass in the Senate.
Republicans are plunging America into a shutdown.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Majority Leader John Thune.
You know, the only real victim here is the American people. This is so unnecessary.
As many as 750,000 federal workers could be furloughed each day. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
In a shutdown, national parks and museums have to close. Social Security and Veterans Services could be delayed.
TSA agents and federal troops have to report to their jobs anyway, but they won't get paid. Tracy Riley volunteers at a VFW hall in New Orleans.
I believe that we're going to have families thrown into even more harsh poverty levels than the military currently has.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 98.9 WXCO News, I'm Sholly Pittman, filling in for Isabella Nieto. What's holding Wisconsin back from offering 12 months of postpartum care for Medicaid recipients? Civic Media's Lisa Hale shares what some lawmakers think.
Wisconsin is currently one of only two states in the country that does not offer 12 months postpartum care for Medicaid recipients. Fox Valley lawmakers were asked in a virtual town hall meeting how to make it happen in our state. Democratic Representative Lori Palmieri of Oshkosh is the co-author of Assembly Bill 97, which would extend postpartum coverage from 90 days to 12 months.
This bill introduced and yet to receive even a public hearing, despite the bipartisan support and passing in the Senate. The holdup is in the majority party leadership in the assembly, not because there's not support on this.
Democratic Representative Lee Snodgrass of Appleton said she does not see passage happening in the House and called out the person she holds responsible.
The way to get it to pass is to have Robin Voss resign and go on to something else and to have a different majority leader who would be willing to bring it forward. He is the sole person standing in the way of this passing. It has already passed the Senate. They have enough votes through Republicans and Democrats, and I think maybe even just Republicans on the assembly side. He is refusing to allow it to get a hearing. He's refusing to allow it to get to the floor. He alone is the obstacle.
Republican Senator Andre Jacques of New Franken was also part of the virtual town hall. He noted that the bill has passed the Senate with bipartisan support. The virtual town hall meeting was hosted by the League of Women Voters Appleton Fox Cities and the League of Women Voters Winnebago County. I'm Lisa Hale.
More news anytime at WXCO.fm.
After further review, hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers coaching staff reviewing the tape of Sunday night's game in Dallas, in which Green Bay kicked a field goal with 1 second left, ending in a tie. Matt LaFleur admits that was poor clock management.
Just looking at the clock, I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be no time left. It's a very humbling experience to go through that. It's unacceptable, quite honestly. And there's nothing we can do about it now other than we better learn from it, everybody.
The Packers have the week off before hosting the Bengals Sunday, October 12th. NBA Bobby Portis says after meeting with Bucks GM John Horst and coach Doc Rivers, he decided to stay in Milwaukee.
Being able to have that open dialogue, open communication with John, open communication with Doc, it's been a great experience for me being here in Milwaukee. Definitely would have been weird going to another franchise, and so I'm happy I'm here.
That's Bucks forward Bobby Portis with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
It's going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Wednesday morning. It's the first day of October 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison at Studio A2 at Civic Media headquarters at the top of State Street, just one block away from the state capitol. Coming up, we'll meet Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor at Up North News, coming up in just a bit. And then there's some big news coming up on this program 90 minutes from now. So you're going to want to stick around till 8:35, or if you have to step away, come on back, or sign up and get this show as a podcast through Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's all about the 7th Congressional District up north. The 7th Congressional District takes up, like, at least the northern third of the state. Tom Tiffany has represented it for the past couple of years. He's now running for governor. So it is an open seat, and we'll be talking with somebody who's going to shed some light on who the next congressional representative could be up north in the 7th District in just a little bit. Brittany Merlot is off, which is a shame, because we would finally get to introduce Merlot to Bordeaux. That, of course, would be Ellie Bordeaux, wow, the new newsletter editor here at Up North News. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to have you here. We want to learn more about you and more about the newsletter. So having got that hello in there, just stand by for a sec, because I realized I got to pass on the keyword for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could be winning cash and jewelry as part of a daily prize, and then every entry has you ready to go for the grand prize, which is two club level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota playing a little football game on November 23rd in Green Bay, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the prize package, more than $1,500. So get on that Civic Media app and get set to text us this keyword before 8 a.m. And then there will be other words throughout the course of the day, other chances to enter, starting with Matt Nair on Air during the 9 a.m. hour. But for the 7 a.m. hour, the text to win keyword is cheer. That's C-H-E-E-R. Cheer, C-H-E-E-R. Text that before 8 o'clock for your chance to win the daily prize and be in the running for that grand prize as well. Cheer before the end of the hour, C-H-E-E-R. All right, we've got the housekeeping out of the way. So in talking with Ellie about the newsletter, I guess we'll first start with a little bit about yourself. Coming first off from, you're an Oconomowoc girl, first and foremost.
Yes, I am. I'm born and raised in Oconomowoc. I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life, which I love. I love Wisconsin, so I'm not complaining about that. I went to UW-Madison. I graduated there in 2024 with degrees in journalism and Spanish. While I was at UW-Madison, I was a writer and editor for the Daily Cardinal there, which is the independent student newspaper on campus. And now I'm here. So All good things.
Yeah, all good things. Absolutely. So with the Daily Cardinal, did you have like a particular beat or interest?
Yeah, so I kind of did a little bit of everything. I started out my sophomore year and I went into it completely blind. I had no idea what it meant to be a journalist. I did not know how to write a story. And I remember writing my first story and it just kind of got torn to shreds by my editor, which is fine. It was a learning moment, you know. But my sophomore year, I started as just a staff editor, and then I was the associate news desk editor. So I was in charge of breaking news. So I was in charge of pitching stories to all my writers. If there was breaking news on campus or around Madison, I was in charge of either going and covering it or finding someone to go cover it. And then I did a whole like 180, and my senior year, I was the features desk editor. So I was in charge of longer form, more investigative stories. So I have kind of gotten a whole overview of journalism while I was at the Daily Cardinal, which was a great experience. I kind of got a little taste of everything, so it was great.
All right. And then you mentioned having the not just the journalism education, but the Spanish as well. Is that something you've been putting to use?
Not as much as I would like to necessarily. Sometimes it's hard to find places to practice it, but I definitely try and use it when I can. I stay on top of my Duolingo, to get some practice where I can.
I just want to know if Sophia Minert has any reason to think that her job is in jeopardy for
Oh.
all of the Spanish language interviews that she does after Brewers games for FanDuel. And by the way, and by the way, she is, I mean,
She
she's
rocks.
won an Emmy
Yeah,
Award.
she's fantastic.
She's a workhorse and does those interviews. And so I can imagine that might be some practice for you if we can get you down to the Brewer dugout and talk to some of the players.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great.
You've been to your share of sporting events already as you've shared your story in some of your first editions of our newsletter, talking about things that you've done with your dad and some of your travels around the state. What are some of the favorite memories you've been sharing already?
So I've only ever gone to two Packer games in my life. My first one was last year or last season for my birthday. Me, my dad, and my brother went, which was super fun. And then me and my boyfriend actually went 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now for the Whiteout game, and that was really cool. So we kind of just went on like a last minute, like, why not? Let's go. So we ended up going. That was super fun. I've been to a ton of Badger games in my time. I started going to those when I was really little, and that's when I was like, oh, I really want to go to school here, and Brewer games too. I've been to my fair share of those. Packer games are a little bit more slim, but
How much jumping have you officially done with the jump around? Could you count the number of times you've jumped?
I'm trying to think the amount. I don't know how many times I've jumped, but I've definitely
It's
got
a lot.
burned some calories there for sure.
Have you actually
Yes.
jumped, or have you just like kind of bounced?
Yeah, do
is
you
more.
just
Oh, I
bounce on the
jumped.
balls of your
You've jumped.
feet?
Oh, wow.
No,
Okay.
you actually jump.
You
Okay.
got to jump because I would always get upset when people are just like, oh yeah, I'm like, that's not jumping. You're not jumping around. Come on,
That's like me when that's like me with the wave. The wave used to be this big new thing, and now if you're with the wave, I kind of lift my hands up and hey.
Yeah,
Ellie would
that's
yell
fair.
at us for that. Exactly. We're
I would.
talking to Ellie Bordeaux, the new newsletter editor with us here at Up North News. And as we get into the things that you've been working on, I mean, you right away started with a special edition last week all about fall in Wisconsin. And needless to say, as you know from our segments with Sherita Booker on Thursdays, there's no shortage of stuff that you can do. There's no reason to be homebound in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is plenty to do. All and our fall guide covers Oktoberfest all around the state. We've got fall festivals. We've got some like spooky, scary spots as Halloween kind of approaches. So we have no shortage of things for you to do. I love hearing responses from all the readers of, hey, this gave me something to do this weekend. Like, I'm going to go check out this fall festival, or I'm going to go to this Oktoberfest and try this pumpkin beer, So there's definitely no shortage of things to do, and our fall guide definitely shows that. So.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the premise of Up North News, folks go, well, you guys just cover a lot of political news. Well, we do because we think that that is stuff that people need to know about. But by and large, we're just an outlet that celebrates Wisconsin and wants people to get in the car and get all around, get to some new event, some new festival, some new place that you haven't, hiked before or something like that. I know it was a series of newsletter stories that got me thinking that I've got to go see more of these waterfalls around Wisconsin. And so last year, I know we went to go see a couple of those. So as you have started looking at things that may get into the newsletter, have you already started your own little bucket list of things that, like, I haven't gone there yet and I want to get to that?
Definitely. That's something that selfishly has been really nice for me to be able to look into all these things. And now I'm like, oh, I have something to do this weekend. You know, if I have no plans, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check out this Oktoberfest, or, oh, I'm going to go check out the ginormous pumpkin fest, you know, those kinds of things. So it definitely has helped me find things to do throughout the coming weeks, you know?
Well, and I know that Selena Heller was at the ginormous pumpkin fest in Altoona last weekend and would be more than happy to take you around and, you know, have you see some of the sites over here in the western part of the state. And I was encouraged to note that as you've been making your drives, you have not just like you and Parker, you kids in your rock and roll music, you have shown a willingness to listen to some of the classic stuff, which is a nice way of saying old guy radio. But you've been to some concerts and started up a whole new playlist that kind of defies your generational boundary.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess you could say that. I grew up on that kind of music. My mom is super into that kind of music. My dad is too. My parents, their favorite band is AC/DC. Our dog is named after Angus Young. His name is Angus. So all that kind of stuff. I was definitely born on those and raised on those, that type of music. So it just kind of is what I love, you know. And going to those concerts was so fun. Yeah, it's a great time.
I am sitting here just blown away. You know, yes, but, you know, again, my generation's parents, you know, they were listening to Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I didn't realize we've come to the generation now where they go, oh yeah, my mom and dad, they listen to AC/DC all the time. I was not expecting to hear that. So that is awesome.
Yeah.
And makes me feel super old at the same time, but you know, that's okay. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. And I hope we saw you go through the interview process and heard all about some of your ideas and your enthusiasm. So I hope you're looking forward to things so far. Robin Tigerton says, hi, Ellie. You do an excellent job on the newsletter. He also writes, this weekend is Caroline Colorama. It's one of the, it also is one of the largest horse trail rides around. So yeah, we have no shortage of people that want to provide some, you know, insight for giving you ideas for the newsletter. Do you want to let people know how they can reach you?
Yeah. So you can reach me via email, ellie@couriernewsroom.com. Or if you just hit reply to the newsletter, if you sign up on our website, if you just hit reply, I'll get that. I'll see it. I'll respond to you, you know, which is super great. So yeah, it's great to hear responses. I've had so many people reply with, again, things to do in Wisconsin or things that I maybe missed or things that they want to hear more about. And I love hearing those things. So it's a step-by-step process. You know, I'm still trying to kind of get into the swing of things. I'm still pretty new, but hopefully with time, it'll get better and better and you'll see more of what you want to hear, you know?
Oh yeah. It'll definitely click in. So Ellie is Ellie. That's Ellie at couriernewsroom.com. Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. So this has been a lot of fun. I really have appreciated you stepping into this role and starting to put some things in there already, not just the feature stories, but obviously we also drop in a little bit from the day's news headlines. For example, we do have a story in today's edition about basically the new backdoor abortion ban that came from the Trump Republican mega bill. And it's the reason why Planned Parenthood is not performing abortion services currently in Wisconsin while that law is being challenged. So you're always going to get up to date on some of the big news stories in the area, but you're also going to get those little pieces like the story today about some special moments from the Brewers season to kind of get you ready for the playoffs. So a well-rounded publication you're putting together there.
Definitely. Yeah. We try and do a little bit of both. You know, I think it's important to have some of the hard news in there of, hey, this is what's going on around you, you know, got to keep up to date, but also we want to keep things positive. We want to keep things light. We want to, what are some fun things going on throughout the state, you know, that kind of stuff. So we try and keep it a good mix. So.
Oh yes, you do. All right. Ellie Bordeaux, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you. All right. So there you go. To learn more and to get signed up for what Ellie's putting together, you can stay up to date by heading to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. From the heart of America's up north here, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, continuing a conversation with Sherry Johnson and Terry Hellrude from the River of Hope Clothes Closet. What else do people need to know about this? Because it just sounds like, man, it's amazing. Again, those numbers kind of stick with me, that the idea that so many people are out there that are in need. And these are people that are living their lives with their families. What have you learned within our human neighbors and within your church, which is, again, trying to spread, I think, goodness in our communities? What have each of you found that would be able to maybe paint a picture of what the clothes closet means to both you and both and the community as well?
Especially right before school started, we were so busy this year. Just people struggling to put clothing on their children for going back to school. It was so good to be able to help them out. We also help fire victims. We help women's shelters, nursing home, and the houseless population. We help foster parents, and we also help the orphan train. So there are so many ways that we can help, and we can do this all by the generosity of people's donations. That is wonderful. People have been so generous with their donations from our community and our three churches. It is wonderful. We also do have to sort and size and hang up all those clothes. So if anybody ever has any time to come and volunteer, we have work Mondays from 10 until 4 that you can just pop in. If you can pop in for an hour, that's great. If you can stay longer, that's great too. And help us sort those clothes and put them out for the people.
And Terry, what about you in terms of the growth of this? And that says a lot for the people that do want to aid and help in our community, doesn't it?
It does, both the in terms of the need for it and in terms of the volunteers and the donations, because each has grown together, right? The number of volunteers who've seen the need and have helped. The donations that make this possible. Sherry, I believe the clothes closet's given away something like 50,000 items so far this year. That's a lot, right? That's a lot of pants, shirts, shoes, and whatever. Those come a lot from donations from people in the community. Everyone's story is different, right? But what I see is when people come and they have a need, they're usually careful to say, but I don't want to take too much, right?
Right.
I have this need, but so do others. So I'm going to be careful in what I take and how much I take. And the story, I mean, the unexpected disasters, like you said, the fire victims, the person whose clothes got stolen out of the laundromat and all of a sudden didn't have anything, or grandparents unexpectedly getting custody of grandchildren, and just people struggling, just ongoing economic struggling, trying to make ends meet. Clothes is a basic need.
Well, recently, and I actually talked about this on the program, I went shopping for clothes. I had not done that in a while. And it's amazing just for one person. And then you think about a family that has multiple kids that are going to school. And you talked about, you know, start a school. It adds up so quickly.
This clothing is so expensive.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. Also, you mentioned about the growth. How have you been able to keep up? Because you talk about the amount of people that come in and the amount of items. You talked about some of the volunteers. Was there ever a point where you got a little overwhelmed?
There have been times when we have been overwhelmed, and then I just ask more people to volunteer, and it gets done.
Is there a way that people can either check online? What's the best way? Say, number one, they want to volunteer. Number two, they want to donate. Number three, they may know somebody that is in need that would like to come by. Let's get to the basic information about this, because in our discussions, there may be people out there saying, hey, I want to be involved. How do they do it in those different ways?
They can either call me, Sherry, at 715-571-2620, or call our church, and that is 715-359-4500.
What we're going to be doing is part of our show notes. We have a podcast page, and we have show notes for things that we talk about on this program. And I'll make sure to put that information down in our show notes. So if you're out there tuned in right now, just go at the end of our program, a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, and we will have today's program on there, have a description of the things that we've talked about this morning, and then that information as well to be involved. Anything else that you want to add, Terry, in terms of what people need to know, maybe even beyond they want to be involved, what they get out of being involved?
It is a good feeling to be able to give to others, and we are housed in a church, and as part of that, right, we feel that this is something that God calls us to do. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, regardless of your spirituality, or in a society, we're in this together. So if we can help each other and give each other a hand when it's needed, because sooner or later we all need a helping hand somewhere along the way.
Do you sense, Sherry, that this is going to continue to grow? Actually, the best news that we could have probably here is the need would go away, but unfortunately, it's probably not going to be going away. Do you expect this to continue to grow?
I do expect it to continue to grow, and things like this show, telling people about it, that just helps with that growth. That is wonderful.
And to wrap it up, let's talk to those people that, again, may have that need. Don't be afraid to come by and take a look, be involved in that way as well. What's the final message that each of you would want to send out about the importance of this and anything else that maybe we're missing right now?
Well, you mentioned if you have a need, and that's hard for people to define, because it feels like we can always look at someone who has a bigger need than we do.
Right.
But a need is a need. I hope people would feel comfortable in being able to come, check it out, and decide for themselves.
All people are welcome to come, and we don't have any income or residency restrictions at all.
Are there hours that people need to know about?
Yes, we are open on Mondays from 1 until 4 and on Thursdays from 9 until noon.
Again, we'll have that information as well on our podcast information show notes page as well.
And that is also when people can drop off any donations.
So again, there's ways for you to be involved in every aspect of this. And again, it's about doing right for our community and doing right for our fellow citizens and to help those, lift those in need, and also lift yourself up because by doing good work as well. Again, Sherry Johnson, Terry Hellrude, thank you both for sharing the information this morning. And again, thank you for all the work that you do, and it's so important.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you for having us.
Sherry Johnson and Terry Hellrude from the River of Hope Clothes Closet. We'll take a time out, come back with more here on 98.9 WXCO.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Coming up, we're diving into the heart of the grain markets. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Wednesday. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, joins us with a powerful insight. Corn demand isn't just steady, it's exceptionally strong.
The 2025-26 marketing year is the best start to the to corn export program that we've ever had. It eclipsed the 2020-21 program year with the strong sale pace. And what's interesting about that is in 2021, China bought 48% of that corn. And we're doing that this year without any Chinese purchases on the corn side either. So again, it just shows you how things kind of shifted on the global demand as China moved its business elsewhere. Other importers have stepped up and really bought U.S. corn in a strong clip.
John Heinberg along with us. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Stick around for a look at how markets finished yesterday after this.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell, we guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
On the close yesterday from Chicago, corn prices pulled back as USDA found a few more bushels than the trade had expected in their latest report. December corn down 6 cents at 415.5. Soybeans also easing lower despite some tighter stocks numbers. November soybeans down 8.75 cents at 10.01¾. Cash wheat closed 11.5 cents lower at 508 a bushel. July 2026 new crop wheat down 9 cents at 551¾. The 40-pound block cheese continued its higher trend, closing up a nickel and a half at $1.72. When cheese closed, the October Class 3 milk contract was trading up 24 cents at $17.23 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract trading up 26 cents at $16.89 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matner on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. Live from the lake here in Chippewa Falls, it is 7:35, which means that you have less than 25 minutes to text us the word cheer in the Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. Use that Civic Media app, find the text button, and text the word cheer, C-H-E-E-R, before 8 a.m. for your chance at a daily prize of $200 cash and a gold-plated chain, see green and gold. And also, every entry puts you in the running for that grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a little football game with some great indoor seats in Green Bay for a game next month. Again, cheer, and then you'll have another chance to win starting at 9 a.m. for Matinair on Air. I mentioned Green Bay and Minnesota playing football as part of this. So there's also going to be some Wisconsin Badger football to talk about for later this week. The Badgers were off last weekend. This weekend, they are taking on Michigan. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Also wanted to let you know through Civic Media, you know, because we talked to Ellie Bordeaux just a bit ago about Up North News and its newsletters and your updates there. But Civic Media also has ways that you can get local news with a statewide reach. All you got to do is go to civicmedia.us. And then click on one of the many stations that are there, your local station preferably. And up near the top of each station's homepage, you'll see a daily news roundup. And you can listen to it right there. Folks from the Civic Media News team record those daily. You can also sign up for email versions of their daily news updates while you're there. Again, that's at civicmedia.us to go learn more. All right, time for a little homeroom action here where we talk about public education on Wednesday mornings around this time and some of the opportunities, some of the threats that are out there as well. You'll recall that last week we visited with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. And one of the things that we touched on briefly was the notion of all of these federal budget cuts coming from the Trump administration for the crazy idea that anything associated with what is known as DEI must be bad and has to be cut. Now, never mind that from a race-based standpoint, that's racist on its face. And of course, they've got the cojones to claim that diversity, equity, and inclusion is itself racist because, you know, white people are such victims. But it's the way that they have stretched the definition of DEI. That is, I mean, it would be funny if it weren't so harmful. And the one we talked about last week that is still a concern out there deals with the 100 or so Wisconsin families that could soon be losing access to services that aid deaf-blind students. And that's because of cuts by the U.S. Department of Education. So the DPI, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, has said there will not be federal grant funding available for the Wisconsin Deaf-Blind Technical Assistance Project. The current Trump administration says that they're reevaluating everything, and that according to an administration spokesperson, grants like these to deafblind students, okay, many of these grants, according to a statement, use overt race preferences or perpetuate divisive concepts and stereotypes, which no student should be exposed to. The non-continued grant funds are not being cut. They are being reinvested immediately into high-quality programs that better serve special needs students. Well, never mind the last part of that, which is just blatantly wrong and false. But this whole notion of that money that goes to deafblind education, according to this statement, perpetuates divisive concepts and stereotypes. Being deaf and or blind is not a stereotype. It's not a divisive concept, all right? It's a need that helps people learn and get access to assistive technology and transition services. There's nothing luxurious about this, about the programs that are provided through the Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. And of course, the Department of Public Instruction is, you know, trying to stay on top of the Trump administration and make the case that these grants should be restored. But at the moment, in the name of being anti-woke, these families are scrambling. Imagine if that's your child, and how do they get an education otherwise? Well, of course, that's only one example from Cleo Krejci in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from yesterday. Citing concerns over diversity, equity, and inclusion, the U.S. Department of Education has eliminated about $8 million in grant funding earmarked for special education teacher programming in Wisconsin K-12 schools. So apparently, training special education teachers is divisive or somehow racist. The Department of Education reviewed all grants like this and said that, you know, there were problematic words in some of these grant applications. For example, that special education coaches would be trained with an equity mindset. There apparently was also language in another grant application that said that that there will be a discussion of the impact of white supremacy and the history of whiteness on systems and work to disrupt and dismantle its effects and facilitate action planning to build a more equitable system of education in its place. The Trump administration says that doing that is itself discriminatory, and the Trump administration has argued that the concept of systemic racism does not exist. Okay, let's go back on this. Again, the problem there, they saw that there was a mention there about white supremacy, the history of whiteness on systems. Just try and tell me that in the past, there weren't examples where two children needed special education services. One was white, one was not. And there were only enough resources to take care of one of the students. Which one do you think got it? And if you go, oh, it must have been the, you know, the non-white kid, you're not paying attention. Because for generations in this country, it was overt racism that prevented everybody's tax dollars from going to places where they are needed most. When people say, well, I don't believe in systemic racism, I don't believe in institutional racism, because you're calling me racist. Nobody's calling a person racist, but you look at education, you look at healthcare, you look at our judicial system, and you look at the difference in outcomes still to this day. It's not necessarily that there are overt racists in there, but there are things in the system that continue to work against people who are not white. And as you look into these systems and say, okay, how can we make things different? How can we make sure that that white child in need of special education and that black child in need of special education and that Hispanic child in need of special education all have access to good and well-trained teachers? that apparently looking into that and how to make things more fair to all three of those little angels is somehow divisive and racist. It's not. It's these cuts themselves that are. And I've never had a problem saying that. This is a guy who said he was going to get rid of, you know, the illegal terrorists on the streets and instead is rounding up all kinds of hardworking people for the crime of wanting to come to this country and build a better life the way that many of our great grandparents did. And rather than fix the system so that they're not undocumented, you choose instead, you choose to blow up fixing the system. You make a conscious choice to avoid fixing the system, and you make a conscious choice to just round up brown people. Don't be surprised when you get called out on that, because it is exactly what it looks like. You're not making America safer. You're not making America great again. You're making things worse. You're making things more expensive. You're exacerbating the labor shortage. And now you're not even helping students who are deaf and blind or in need of special education services because of your rage about taking out your frustrations on people who aren't white because you feel some sort of white victimness, which is just one of the oldest, most frustrating things out there in America today. My goodness, it just gets to me. The people who think that they are somehow at a disadvantage because of this day and age, when we actually try to treat people more fairly, whatever their background. But that's what we have. And that's why our schools right now are fighting so hard to get grants restored that we're making things better. But apparently now, if you're deaf, blind, or want to be a special education teacher, too bad. You don't get that. There's a new candidate for Wisconsin State Supreme Court to tell you about. The announcement came out early this morning. I will quote from Mary Spacuzza's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says, State Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar is getting into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. She will be the conservative candidate in the race rather than Justice Rebecca Bradley, who announced recently that she is not going to seek re-election. So it's quite likely that Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar will face Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, a former Democratic state lawmaker who is already in the race for state Supreme Court justice. So at the moment, if no other candidates get in, it will be a classic progressive versus conservative campaign, the way that most of the recent state Supreme Court races have been. And keep in mind, progressives have won 4 out of the last 5 state Supreme Court races. And progressives have won something like 15 out of the last 18 statewide elections, because Wisconsin is much more of a 50-50 state, or if anything, lean progressive, than it is a conservative state. It has large majorities of Republicans in the legislature and the Congress only because they rigged the maps more than a decade ago. But this appeals court judge, Maria Lazar, is running now. She is a former assistant state attorney general under Scott Walker, who defended the state in lawsuits against Act 10. In a statement, she said, "We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court." Those are her words. To stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court. It is quite clear that from her past record and her campaign donors that she, in winning a seat for the Court of Appeals, had support from all manner of conservative and Republican groups, including Wisconsin Right to Life and Pro-Life Wisconsin, which argue for total abortion bans with no exceptions for rape and incest frequently. This is a state Supreme Court that, when it was in conservative hands, was against women's reproductive health rights. It was for gerrymandering the maps. It was for power grabs that were done by Republican legislators against Tony Evers and Josh Call, the attorney general. And most chilling of all, that there were conservative justices who wanted to go along with Donald Trump's efforts to potentially overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Maria Lazar is of that same mold, will have big-time right-wing donors in her race for state Supreme Court against Chris Taylor. Again, that race is in April of next year. if one more candidate gets in, if there are three or more candidates, there will be a primary, a nonpartisan primary in February. But regardless, a general election for a state Supreme Court race come April. Coming up in our next hour, some big news about the 7th Congressional District and who wants to run for it next year. Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 30th, New Hampshire implemented new hurdles for registering to vote by mail and requesting an absentee ballot. The regulations hit students, elders, and the disabled the hardest, and a pending suit claims many could be disenfranchised. New Hampshire already has some of the strictest absentee voting rules in the country, accepting only a few excuses to vote absentee. The state had over 99,000 absentee voters in 2024. With the added requirements of SB 287 and 218, citizens registering to vote by mail must now submit copies of citizenship documents, age, and residency. The voter registration application must also be signed by a witness before submission. The Brennan Center recently found that 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to such documents. Notably, only one non-citizen has ever been convicted for voting illegally in New Hampshire. Then, after the voter registration is accepted, New Hampshire requires an absentee ballot application be submitted for each election, which now must include a copy of the voter's state or federally issued photo identification, even if you've provided those documents previously or provide a notarized signature. A lawsuit filed August 19th argues such restrictions make it difficult for students, elders, the disabled, and those without access or means to copy the documents to vote. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've got a pocket full of holes. Head in the clouds, the king of fools. You've got a
everyone, and welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitel here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:53. Another mild start here in North Central Wisconsin at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Fair skies, temperature stands at 56 degrees. Again, some clouds out there, but 56 degrees right now, the temperature. Expecting those high temperatures into the upper 70s again. And as I look ahead, it looks like it's going to stay well below, above normal until the end of the weekend. In fact, this weekend, lots of sunshine both Saturday and Sunday. We'll have highs again in the 80s on Saturday and almost 80 on Sunday. Then finally, things will start to cool off a little bit still, I would say, above normal for this time of year, with Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid-60s. It's going to feel chilly because we're not used to that. But hopefully you'll be able to have an opportunity to take advantage of the weather, both the end of this week and into the weekend as well. Again, I am Chad Holmes. Across the way is Ian Welsh. And Ian, got to give a shout-out to your mom today, because she was the one that got us connected with Sherry Johnson and Terry Hellrood from the River of Hope Clothes Closet. We had a chance to talk to them this morning. Again, that's an outstanding organization. And the thing, one of the things that jumped out to me, and I think, you know, in terms of trying to find ways to connect, near the end of the discussion, one of the ladies said, you know, this is something that is important in their faith. But at the same time, it's also something where no matter what your faith is, whether you have a faith or not, because in this country we have the right to worship as we please or to not worship as we please. And she said, basically, hey, that in the end, that is not the important aspect here. The important aspect is being able to help those in your community that are in need. And I thought that really hit the nail on the head. And I thought it was very, you know, very nice conversation. And again, as I mentioned, we'll have information on our show notes on the podcast page coming up when we're done with the show this morning.
Yes, we will. Absolutely.
So thanks to your mom.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom.
It's what we like to see. We like to have, you know, and folks out there, if you are part of an organization, if you're part of a group, if you know of an organization or a group, or if you know of somebody that should be talked to because they're doing something that is good in our community, reach out to us. We would love to be able to spread some of the good news as well as talk about some of the things that gets under the skin as well.
We really would.
But there are, and the thing about it, and you know as well as anybody, there's a lot of either organizations or groups or people that really are doing the good.
There really is. There's the clothes closet. There's the community center of Hope. There's the neighbors place, the Good News Project. There's all sorts of great organizations that, you know, do a lot to try to help our community, you know, help give people clothing and food and a shelter, especially in the wintertime. There's a lot of great organizations out there. And, you know, talking about events like the Clothes Closet, it really draws much needed attention to, you know, get the word out and get more people involved in organizations like this.
There are different ways of connecting with your neighbors. I think that's the bottom line. It's like there are, and sometimes you think, well, you know, it's I don't want to put myself out there or along those lines, you know, and you've said this, you know, you put yourself out there when it was not comfortable back when you were younger. And it helped you a lot joining these theatrical groups and putting yourself out there, meeting other people and making connections. That's what life is about, making connections.
Absolutely. It wasn't easy. Once I got involved in a theater, I met a group of people who I shared a lot of the, you know, same interests as I did, and I got to know them better, and they shared their stories, and that brought us all closer together. And, you know, just all these different people with these different talents, they come together and put on these shows, and it just creates a wonderful piece of art, and we get to share that with others in the community and inspire them to, you know, join a theater as well. You know, whether it's on stage or backstage, there are no small parts in theater.
And also that can just be expanded to anything in your life. It doesn't have to be theater. It can be something else that you find that passion for to connect with other people. So, again, that's one aspect we try to highlight here on the WXEO Morning Report as well.
Indeed.
And real quickly, you have a little more than a minute to go for this hour for the Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win Contest. The first of seven chances to win or a chance to qualify for the drawing at the end of today for $200 cash and gold jewelry, and also to be part of the grand prize drawing for two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game, $1,550 value. So open up that Civic Media app, pick out the WXEO part of the app, hit the text button, and send CHEER, C-H-E-E-R, CHEER, is our keyword for the next less than a minute. So hurry, get there, hurry, CHEER, in order for your chance to qualify for the drawing today and for the grand prize. And, of course, we'll have six more chances, and we'll talk more about that as well. So we'll be back at 8:22 with another edition of the WXEO Morning Report with Ian Welsh. I'm Chad Holmes here on 98.9 WXEO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXEO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Vice President Vance has just weighed in on CBS Mornings on the government shutdown that began at midnight.
There's going to be some pain, and there's necessarily going to be some pain because Senate Democrats refuse to reopen the government. We hope that they'll change their minds.
Both sides are sharply divided over spending priorities. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We need to stop these premiums from going up dramatically. We need to do it now. Not in October when people get the notices, not in November when they have to decide whether to drop health care or reduce the health care they get.
By one estimate, up to 750,000 workers could be furloughed every day of the shutdown with no pay. Brian Green heads the Houston Food Bank. He anticipates an onslaught of laid off employees.
We'll do the best with what we have, but if it starts to get to the point later in November when the benefits are also not coming in, it will be overwhelming.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.